the three temperaments. The mental temperament of human beings, known as gunas in Sanskrit, are of three types. Each has a distinct character of its own. A human is composed of all three gunas. They are known as tamas, inactive, rajas, active, sattva, transactive. Tamas is the state of thoughts in inertia, a mood of lethargy, indolence, indifference, indisposed to activity, a condition of sloth and sleep, with no intellectual conviction to pursue, nor emotional feeling to manifest. A person steeped in tamas lives a dull, inactive life with hardly any response to the world. Rajas is the state of passionate, desirous, and agitated thoughts. When a person bristles with frenzied actions leading to his involvement in the affairs of the world. Sattva is the state of thoughts in equanimity, serenity, objectivity. When a person is poised, mature, contemplative, detached from worldly involvement and excitement, hence termed transactive. Sattva, rajas and tamas, composed in different proportions, accounts for the heterogeneous variety of human beings. Every individual possesses all three gunas. The proportion of these temperaments differs from person to person. Some have sattva predominating over rajas and tamas. They are referred to as sattvic persons. The predominance of rajas over the other two creates a rajasic person, and the predominance of tamas, a tamasic person. The law of nature is such that the sattva guna in an individual surfaces in the early hours of the morning, between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. His rajas and tamas lie dormant during that period. Similarly, rajas predominantly manifests at daytime between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So does tamas show up at night from 6 p.m. to 4 a.m. The law holds good for everyone, from the highest sattvic to the lowest tamasic person. The sattvic temperament is highest in a sattvic person, less in a rajasic person, least in a tamasic person. Regardless of the quantum, the sattva in a person manifests in the early hours. If the sattvic content is more, the pressure for its expression is maximum. That explains why a sattvic person wakes up early. The pressure being low in a rajasic person, he wakes up late. The tamasic has to be virtually pulled out of bed. Besides waking a person up early, the other sattvic qualities are seen clearly manifest at that time, like being calm and composed, serene and contemplative, being averse to plunging into gross physical activity or indulging in sensual pleasure. Hence, early morning is said to be well suited for contemplation, And the sattvic time most conducive for spiritual practice, study, reflection and meditation become effective between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. Thus, utilizing the early hours and retiring early, you can increase your sattva, control your rajas and reduce your tamas. Just as sattva manifests early in the morning, rajas finds its expression during the course of the day. Whatever rajasic content a person has, it forces its way out after the sattvic time is over. Hence, people are found bristling with activity during the daytime. The rajasic person with a large proportion of rajas becomes frightfully active. The rest also are prone to be involved in some form of activity from morning till evening, commensurate with the rajasic content. Tamas emerges after 6 p.m. Indulgence in intoxicants, sex, gambling, etc. is conspicuous during night time. Most pronounced in tamasic persons, less in rajasic, and virtually absent in sattvic persons. Your mission in life should be to raise yourself from tamas to rajas to sattva, and your goal to reach trans-sattva. Trans-sattva is the state of self-realization, God-realization. As you drop your tamas and rajas, you attain more and more sattva. As you continue the spiritual pursuit, your sattva gradually displaces all rajas and tamas. But sattva alone cannot exist, since the human being is essentially made up of all three gunas. Consequently, pure sattva transforms itself to trans-sattva. You become the Supreme Self, liberated from the persecutions of the body, mind and intellect. From the balcony of the Self, you watch the procession of perception, emotion and thought go by. You must pull yourself out of these temperaments and attain the trans-sattvic state. You may have to initiate action where inaction prevails. It needs your personal effort. The trouble with most people is that they want others to work for them while they remain idle. They listen to many discourses and do little thereafter. All the lectures of sages and saints are of no avail unless you are prepared to lecture to yourself. Reflect and contemplate what you have heard or read. Thus must you learn to raise yourself by yourself. As you move from inaction to action, you slip into another difficulty. You become involved in your activities, attached to things and beings of the world. You do not realize that you are persecuted by your own action and possession. Learn a simple law of life. Just in as much as you claim possession of anything, you remain possessed and obsessed. You tie one end of a rope around the neck of a mule and hold the other end in your hand and claim the mule as yours. You believe the mule has become your slave, that it is subordinate to you. The reason for your claim is that the mule cannot leave you. The mule has lost its freedom to you. It is true. But then the converse is also true. You cannot leave the mule either. You cannot leave the mule because the mule cannot leave you. You have become a slave of the mule. If you are free to leave the mule, so is the mule free to leave you. By enslaving the mule, you enslave yourself. So it is with the world. The moment you claim possession of the world, you are possessed by the world. It is the law. People the world over have been self-centered, selfish, and have developed a mania for possession proprietary. Their efforts are all directed to acquisition, aggrandizement, accumulation of material wealth. The craze for mindness, the fever of possessiveness, rages in their mind. This attitude has ruined the peace of mind in human society. You must therefore avoid developing a sense of mindness towards objects and beings. The feeling of possessiveness towards your possessions enslaves you, turns your life miserable. The feeling of mindness, possessiveness, is unrelated to the quantum of wealth you possess. You could be extremely wealthy, possess a large fortune, and yet maintain a dispassionate attitude towards it. A dispossessive feeling towards your possessions. You can entertain the same feeling even in penury. The sense of dispassion, the attitude of dispossession, develops as you identify with the higher values of life. And with the goal firmly set on the transsattvic state, on the Supreme Self, your craving for possession and proprietary fades away. You relate to the world with dispassion, a sense of renunciation. An attitude of renunciation towards the affairs of the world is a sattvic quality. It remains the same through prosperity and poverty. This idea has been well brought out in the characters of Janaka and Sudama in the scripture. Janaka was a king with an abundance of wealth. Sudama was a pauper. Regardless of their material status, both were men of exceptional renunciation. Their mind was set on the Supreme Self within, with little value for material wealth. If the world today wishes to be truly civilized, it must instill the spirit of service and sacrifice in the society. The spirit which would develop the attitude of dispassion towards object and being, possession and relationship. People must learn to become more impersonal, more skilled to work for the welfare of the community than their own. That would determine the dignity and prestige of a human being. As the spirit of dispassion grows, you become more detached from the affairs of the world. The fluctuations of the world no more disturb your inner peace and happiness. You become more and more objective in life, less and less involved in and affected by the happenings around you. You then observe the world as a witness. View your own life as an actor would upon the stage. Theodore Tilton drives home this idea clearly in his striking poem. The poet presents the king of Persia as a picture of detachment. The king engraved a maxim on his ring: even this shall pass away. Rooted in the highest values of life, he reveled in the spirit of renunciation. He would not identify with the best or the worst that the world offered. The king was blessed with wealth and woman, name and fame. So did he face the pangs of disease, decay and impending death. But he had little to do with them. He maintained an attitude of perfect objectivity, remained ever peaceful and blissful through the fluctuations of the world. The poem.